All right, let's just jump in. If everyone's basically jumping in, this is the live recording of the Off-Road On Air podcast. We're jumping in. We're getting it done. We just want to start. Introduce yourselves. I'm Thomas. I've got Andy down there and Marley, Grubby, the main man himself. All right, we're just going to jump straight into it. How are you, boys? Marley, how you been?
Yeah, not too bad. Bit bloody hot today, mate, as I was saying just before. Out where I live, southwest sort of Brisbane area, I got up to around 43 today, so it was bloody hot. And it really upsets me seeing you guys sitting there in your jumpers and beanies tonight.
That's cooking, bro. Yeah, put it on.
That's it.
I've got sweat dripping off my arms as I'm sitting in this bloody chair.
Victoria represent, bro.
It's raining outside as we speak at my joint.
It's good.
Yeah. How about you, Andy? How are you going?
All right. So, what did I miss last week? Oh, I had really bad reception.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Last time we spoke, I was away for work. I was in a dodgy little hotel room trying to do my thing.
Then, based on that, did you have any little bit of a wrap up of, I think it was the episode was on rollovers and how to deal? Was there any last minute
rollovers
advice?
And how to deal? Actually, yeah. Had this conversation with my missus this afternoon. For the four wheel drive training stuff that I do, I want to make a rig with an old shell of a car that has two seats and seat belts in it that purposely tips itself over, even if it's just onto its side, possibly onto its roof, for the pure purpose of education. Just because you can do, and anyone that works fly in, fly out will know, you need to do the helicopter into the pool upside down. And when you're upside down, you lose track of where you are. You lose track of what's up, what's down, which way to get out of the car. You don't remember where you came from. You're not quite sure where you are. You get disorientated. So I would really like to build a rig for purely educational purposes that you hop in, you strap your seatbelt on, you hold on the steering wheel, we tip it upside down and you climb out the window.
Wait, go back. What's the, because I have no idea about like the FIFO stuff. Do they do training like that, that they've got to get out of an upside down helicopter
offshore,
in water? Yeah.
Yeah, offshore oil rigs.
Yep. If you fly offshore, they put you into a helicopter and they drop the helicopter into a pool upside down and you have to get out.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's why you get the big bucks, bro.
Yeah, right. I did not know that. That's epic. And you can clearly fail.
That is epic. Test. But yes, you would fail, you reckon?
Oh, no, like you could clearly fail that, yeah. Like if they had to pull you out.
Oh, easy. Yeah, and then you don't get the job. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get the job. It's one of the safety requirements. You have to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for rollovers, look, preparation, man. No loose items in the cab. And it's not the you get in the car every day. When you get in the car, you put your seatbelt on and drive off. You don't do it because you plan on being in an accident. You do it just in case you're in an accident, you've got it there. So if you're going on a big full drive trip, you want to put your rollover seatbelt on before you leave home.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Whew. Very important. Always seatbelts.
Heavy stuff. Yeah, always. Like that lifesaver. Absolute lifesaver. Yeah. I now know.
Yes.
I now very well know.
That's last week. This week we are talking.
Yep.
We're talking. We're doing big trips. Big trips, big people. Lots of cars, big convoys.
Yeah, what to prepare for, how to organize, group organizations, communication. It starts to start and then finish at the fin. What group do you type to travel? How do you travel? Do you have a tail end, Charlie? What else? Let's start.
Go, Marley, give us your 2 cents before I chime in, man, because I do a lot of this.
Well, mate, with my age and stuff like that, we haven't had very many big convoys get out of the Facebook group chat or anything like that in a while. So I haven't had much experience, but definitely just over the last weekend that I've had heading up to Rainbow Beach with some of the boys, it'd definitely be comms are a major thing. Not like we had a bloke, it's a straight up and down beach, and he went missing for half an hour. We didn't know where he went. Turns out he went to the toilet with his partner, but we thought he'd been in an accident or something like that. We're looking out for him up and down the beach, but just simple set of comms and making sure your comms are on as well is a big thing. So many people turn them off, not realizing that I'll turn them on when I need them, but you're always going to have them on for if you need them. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, just that, basic preparation.
Can I chime in there, Marley? That might be the, like we're talking, the business in the front, party in the back. Some people tend to hog the mic and talk shit the whole trip. So you turn it down or you turn it off, because Billy down the back won't shut up about how good his new 35-inch tyres are. So as we were mentioning, a channel for convoy communication and a channel for banter. And whether that's just one channel up, so you can flick between the two. So channel 25 is, you know, what we're using. Channel 26 if you want to talk shit. Continue, Marley. I just had to throw that one in.
Yeah, well, definitely just making sure that everyone knows the route as well. Just basic sort of knowledge. Like from Brisbane, we'd say we're going to Twin BPs. We're all going to meet up as a group there. And then we'll head from there up towards Sunshine Coast. We'll go up to TY Beach from there, and we'll head up and along that beach all together as a big group to make sure we're all staying together. Mind you, my big groups are probably about 3 to 5 cars at most. I don't really have that many mates that we all try and go away together, because we've got different friends groups and stuff like that. But whenever we do go away, we always try and set out courses for everyone to meet up at. If someone can't meet up at the Twin BPs or something like that, then we say we're going to all meet at the barge on the way to Tiwa and anything like that.
I dig it.
I dig it.
With the, so a set destination, a meeting point is always good. As of, you know, Friday night, like I said, Twin BPs, and then we're convoying from there. I always go with a backup, a last minute, last resort. If you are not here by Saturday morning at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., whatever it be, we're leaving without you. So, you can't make the meetup point Friday night. That's all good, man. We're all going Friday night. We're staying here. But as of 6 a.m. Saturday morning, we're going with or without you.
Yeah.
And then from there, it is up to then the lead rider or the lead, I'll say lead driver. I'm used to doing this in bike convoy. So the lead rider who would lead the way, he'd have his second in charge, which is then the bloke that is in charge of traffic control, shall we say. He's the one that looks over his shoulder. He's the one that will stop if he has to. The lead rider keeps on leading. That's his job. That's all he does.
He just leads
on. So the second man, he can stop. He can end up at the back of the pack. It doesn't matter, second man. And whether it's a pack of 10, pack of 20, pack of 30, pack of 40, it doesn't matter. And really, it's hard to do. It takes two to tango. You got to have a good right hand man to make it happen. And then, like you're saying, Tom, a tail end Charlie, you need a bloke down the back that's going to keep it all together when shit hits the fan and everybody starts stopping. And especially now, this day and age, with everybody wanting to take some photos for the gram, which we mentioned the other night, Tom. So we'll just say a 10 car convoy, one to 10. So one is the leader. Car two, they can pull over wherever they want and stop, but car three must keep going. Car four, keep going. Car five, keep going. Car six, keep going. Once car 10 gets their tail end Charlie, who was car two, now must become car nine. They do not drop behind tail end Charlie.
Yep.
And they join the back of the track. And now that continues until car three stops, car four stops, car five stops, car six stops. Before you know it, car nine has now worked their way back up to car two. The convoy keeps moving.
And everyone basically gets a chance pretty much at the front and at the back as well.
And you get a chance to drive past other people And like you might have a friend that's got kids in the car and you've got your kids in the car and, you know, you're six cars apart. You don't get to see each other all day.
Yeah.
So that stopping and rotating, you get a chance to drive past each other and wave. The kids get to hang out the window and say hi to their little friend. And it just – it keeps it moving, but it keeps it social, and that's the reason we're doing it. We're doing this for social interaction. If you just want to go out, drive and race around, go do it by yourself.
Yeah, and do it in smaller numbers than what we usually plan, which is like, 12 cars? That's nothing to sneeze at when you're doing high-end, difficult four-wheel drive tracks as well too.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And there's another small rule that I go with, which is adding time. So if you can do a track in 2 hours with two cars, for every additional car, add another half an hour.
Yeah, it's about right.
So two hours for two cars, it becomes 2.5 for three.
Yeah.
It becomes 3 hours for four and continue down the line. So when you've got 10 cars, that two-hour track has now become what, a 5-6 hour track.
That is very true.
Yeah, because people stop and they park in the way so the car behind them can't get round and stuff like that. Like you said, someone doesn't turn their radio on and they miss a turn, but then the car behind them follows them. Next thing you've got car 1 to 7 are all going the right way, but car 8 and 9 have gone the wrong way. Car 10 gets to the intersection and says, hey, what's going on? Where is everyone? And now you've got a heap of backtracking to do to try to sort it out. So that communication is key. The corner man system, you know the corner man system, Tom?
I do know the corner man system. And Andy, you're going to explain it really much better than I do as well too.
Simply, you don't just follow the car in front of you around the corner. So the car number one is going to stop at an intersection. You can turn left or you can turn right. Car number one, the lead car, he's going to stop. When car number two pulls up, car number one's going to turn right. Car number two does not move until they actually see, make eye contact with car number three. Not hear over the radio yet, we're coming, we're right behind you, you're right to go. You got to physically make eye contact with that car, bam, you go. Now that car stops, they wait for the next one. It's a good way to keep dust down. And unless, like I said, car number two wants to pull over, they can pull over and they can wave the next car through.
And that's where that wave rotation through, you can basically have that.
And then that's where the rotation starts, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's two different ways of doing it. There's corner man, which is you stop and you don't move until Taylor and Charlie tells you to, or you stop and wait for the car behind you.
Yep, and it's all led by the start and Taylor and Charlie as well too.
The start to the finish, man, that's where it is. Everyone's in between, and it's a group effort. You've got to roll it around. Some people think they can pay to go on a guided tour and be able to drive around with their head up their ass. You've got to have your wits about you. You've got to know what's going on. You've got to know who's in front of you, who's behind you.
Absolutely.
And you don't. If you are unsure at any point in time, just stop. Stop, park right there, get out of the car, enjoy the view, keep your radio on, and just sit there. Absolutely sit there. Do not fucking move until someone will come up from behind. And it could be the car behind you is broken down. So you've gotten to a corner, your car number 7, you've gotten to a corner, you've caught car number 6, he's taken off, so now you're sitting, you're waiting for car number 8. Car number 8 just doesn't. So it could be half an hour, it could be an hour, it could be 2 hours. You don't leave and go start chasing car number 6 because car number 6 might turn around and start coming back. And then you have people running into each other. So you just sit and wait until car number 8 rocks up. Then you've got the issue. Car number 8 finally fixes their shit. They catch up. Now you're in a hurry to make up lost ground. Car number 6 is on their way back to see you, and you've had it head on again. So you've got to be careful. You've got to be mindful, man. There's other people out there. And again, passing other groups. The fingers out the window. How many in your convoy?
Yep. Basically raise up the hand. 2, 3, 4.
Yep. So now would you show the number of cars in the convoy or what number you are in the line?
If I know how many there's going to be and it's going to be a big one, and if I can't do it on one or two hands, I will literally have it on a piece of paper and then 12 cars total and then literally show it up.
Oh, see, I would.
Well, as in super prepared. Yeah, especially if you're doing really large trips of like 7, 8 cars, because there's a vast difference between telling someone how many cars and they miscalculate the wrong amount of cars or 6 or 7 cars and they don't include or not. Or, 7 cars total. That's it.
Marley, how would you show how many cars in tow or how many cars in total?
We just rock up next to the dude. We say, "G'day, mate, having a good day? Yeah, not too bad." And then we just say, "Yep, I've got me and 2 other cruisers or 2 cruisers, a Hilux and a patrol at the back, mate. Once the patrols come through, that's all our group. Just keep an eye out for anyone else that might be behind us as well." And usually we'll keep that on the comms as well, saying, "Is there anyone following us? If I'm coming up to a car, is anyone following?" Just stuff like that, just your basic sort of, even they might be in trouble if you're just driving past and giving them a wave. They're a bit like, "Oh, okay, great." They might be stuck on the side of the road and you're trying to drive around them. They're like, "Oi, mate, like, you got a tire repair kit or something like that. I need to borrow that." And you might be the only people that he sees for the next 4 or 5 hours, and he's got kids in the back who are whinging and crying. And Misso's just not very happy. So the least you can do is stop, say, "G'day, mate, you're right. Yep, too easy. We've got this many cars behind us. After this certain car, then you're all sweet to go around us. We've just got the bigger convoy."
The same. I like to try and stop at the first car. When the first car meets the first car, I like to try and stop and have a chat to the other driver. But I have had a few times where you meet another car coming. So let's say I got 10 cars behind me. I see another car coming, so I straight away, as soon as I see him on the radio, I've got a car coming, and then I'll slow down, I wind my window down, I put my arm out the window, I wave to him, and a couple of times I've had him, they just go shooting by. They don't even acknowledge that you're trying to wave him down. They go scooting by, so then I'll stay where I am, and I'll try to catch the second car, and when the second car pulls up, because I've now come to a stop and I've got half my body hanging out the window, they tend to pull up next to you, and then I'll say to him, "Hey, mate, just let your buddy know there's 9 cars behind me." So, you know, I've told him he's coming, but, you know, there's a lot of us coming. And then that's when you make the decision, well, hey, we've only got 3 of us. We'll move out of the way. You boys can shoot through. Or, you know, we're towing a caravan, or we've got a dead car that we're towing, or, you know, anything like that. Communication is key. Even ask, "What channel are you boys on?" "What channel are you boys on?" "We're on channel 16. All right, sweet. Well, we're on channel 24. Yep. See you later. Have a good day. And even a heads up, "Oh, we, you know, went through the river back there. It's deep as fuck. Or we've just come down a gnarly hill. It's slippery as. You boys are going to have fun going up that." That's it. And then be on your way.
Yeah, you don't need to stop and have the full bed and breakfast with them, but just like, "Hey, mate, rock climb back there is a bit hairy. Just make sure you're safe."
Yep, that's it. 5 cars behind me, mate. Take it easy. Have a good day. See you later.
Love it.
He'll say, "Yep, I got 3. Cool. Well, I can see 2 of them. The other one's probably not far around the corner."
I love it.
That's it. Convoying. Big convoy. I love big convoys, man.
You eat it up.
I wouldn't say the bigger the better. If they are well behaved, the bigger the better. And it comes down to the group of people, your destination, you know, what you're out there for. Like I said, yeah, do a lot of club stuff where people just want to go for a drive, haven't been driving for months, just want to go for a drive, and they're happy to just go wherever you go. Whereas you get some people, "Oh, no, I want fucking tough tracks. I've got lockers and big tyres. I want to do the extreme stuff." And there's a bloke down the back that's just learning, he's not keen on it, and it all goes pear-shaped from there.
Yeah.
So you want to keep it relevant to the group you've got going on.
And sometimes for me, big groups is not even about the forward driving at all, or small groups. There are a lot of high country locations that if you roll in with more than six or seven cars, you're just not going to find a camp. It's hard enough finding enough for like two or three little pocket-sized camps.
And that's what I was looking at, how many cars you reckon you could park on the top of Blue Rag?
20.
That's what I was going to say. I was like 20, 25 if you do it well.
Yeah. And you can
Able to leave room for people to get
banana. It goes around in this banana shape.
Big semicircle.
As far back really as you can, and all around that rig.
Without backing off a cliff.
And you don't have to do any double ups. If you're under like 15, you don't have to double up. So you can get a good, nice, straight or curvish line in. And if someone's got a drone, they can throw it up to get a better photo as well too. And yeah, have a bit of fun. And I like parking, especially like Blue Rag for us, that's the main reason why I chose the track, because I know there are big, large, major spots where you can pass people on, except for one, the tiny location up to the T intersection off to Basalt Knob. That's the only little tiny portion where it narrows up. And then after that, it that last little bit of the spur, there's plenty of points to pull over if you need to do frog hopping all the way up there, depending on if people are coming back or not. So it's a really nice wide track for the first half, and there's really nice easy spots to pull over on the second half as well too. So
guess what? 7:45. What's this? What are you, that GQ chick? Yous aren't like the girls and require everyone to the shops sells for recovery gear to attend, do you? I don't quite get that. Does that mean you need to carry your own recovery gear?
I think she's trying to say that we're not like, are we the type of people that say that we buy everything from the shops and you need all that stuff for recoveries and everything?
We've discussed this.
I think we're the three completely different for that.
Go back to a couple of podcasts. We've discussed having all the gear and no idea. Look, it is good to have all the gear, and even if you don't know how to use it, you're better off to have it, because I'm more than happy to help anyone. If I drive past anyone and they are stuck, I'm more than happy to help them. But when I got to get my own gear out and get all my own, because I clean all my snatch straps and everything, I keep my shit relatively tidy. When I'm dragging my shit through the mud to get you out, I get pretty pissed. But when you bust out a nice fresh kit and you go, mate, can you help me? I'm there all day. I got nothing but time to help you. When I'm using my own shit, you're coming out the quickest and fastest way possible, and then I'm leaving your ass on the side of the road.
I don't know about that, Andy. I was over on Rainbow Beach on last weekend, and there was a nice, tidy TD-42 patrol that was bogged in the middle of fresh water. And guess who had to come and save him, mate? Big Ruby, mate.
Is there the old guy next to him?
Yeah, old NA80 to the rescue, pulled them all the way back the way through, up and around the corner through fresh water. It's a pretty soft bit in inland track in Rainbow Beach, so I don't think he's expecting it. And he's like, oh, I know you from TikTok. Yeah,
I love that.
No, you definitely, as long
what
as you
pressure's in your tires?
I think he said he was running 20.
You can go lower.
A bit high.
Yeah.
16 to 18 on the 80 series when it was
on the beach. Recovery pressures around that 10-15.
And that's the same. Like in a big group, you pull over and air down, that could take an hour.
Oh, easily.
Whereas you get everyone to pull over and air down, that could take an hour. Whereas if you've got 20 minutes up a tar road in the morning, tell everyone air down before we leave. We're leaving at 8 o'clock. Be aired down and ready to go we're on the road. And that's the same with like lunch. Are we stopping at a certain point for lunch, or is it lunch on the go? All that stuff sort of got to be covered before you leave in the morning, so everyone knows what they're on. Because you don't want to have a group of 20 people all going, oh, when are we stopping for lunch? And you're going, well, fuck, we've got some ground to cover, and you guys are dragging the chain, so there's no time for lunch.
Yeah.
So you just run through, and we sort of call it a driver's briefing. In the morning, the night before, right, this is what's happening. This is how it's going to happen. Get your shit sorted, and away we go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that clear? Right.
We'll go. Yeah, I think 10
straight around the peak.
10's a bit low. That's if you're
definitely 10
really
PSI, man. Fuck no, I'd go 8, even 5 sometimes.
Yeah, that's only if it's real soft, boggy stuff, but then you got to remember you still got to make sure you don't run a bead off the tire as well. 10 PSI for beach,
bead lock at Marley. Rocks.
Yeah, I want to get some bead locks.
I glue my tires. Yeah, I glue my tires to the rims.
Redneck bead locks.
Yep.
You're not going to like
redneck bead locks, baby. Well. It's this special rubber cement shit. It actually melts the tire to the rim. So I'll buy new rims and new tires. I'll glue the tires to the rim. And when they're, 50%, 40%, sell them, rims and tires, sold, gone.
Very nice. That's a good idea, actually.
If it works. Yeah. It ain't silly. Absolutely, right. Yeah.
You're not going to be very happy with me, Andy. But I do have a way of ripping them off.
Yeah, that's the go, man.
Oh, no, you don't like rooftop tents, mate.
All that extra weight up top will help you tip over a bit more.
Ruby, I thought you lie down, mate.
Yeah, you would have learned from your Victorian experience, man. We don't want weight up there.
No, we do not.
No, we don't. All right, well, we got to wrap it up. We'll wrap it up. Yep. That was
nice. That was good. I love it.
It was good.
Marley, what's your socials?
See you later, guys. My name's Marley Grubby. You can find me on all social media, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. So Marley Grubby 2, I think it is, on Snapchat if you really want me. And, yeah, a couple of YouTube videos coming out soon, hopefully. I've just been real slack with posting them. I don't know why, but same as on TikTok, I've got quite a few. Sorry, so hot up here. Quite a few TikTok videos in the making at the moment, so hopefully those will be out soon. But yeah, if you guys want to support me at all, head on over to YouTube. I'm trying to grow that platform. I think we just hit almost 300 a few days ago subscribers. So
wow,
hopefully once I get to that 1,000, we'll be cheering.
Love it, love it. All right, I'm going to jump in. I am Thomas John Freeman on YouTube and TikTok. That's where you can find me the most active. But I also have Instagram and Facebook. That's Foodball Driving. That's my old school handle. I've kept it going. Who knows? 2024 is coming up. I might do some more food videos. I'm definitely going to do some food on this trip coming up. So that'll be really, really awesome. I've been really slack myself. I've just been chilling out in the shed, making stuff in the shed. I've been wanting a little bit back on the four-wheel drive stuff for the last month, but December is going to be an absolute mad month. A little bit of November as well too, so I'm going to be hitting and quitting it a fair bit coming up to Christmas, and summer is just going to be so fun for me. Andy, finish it up, mate.
Righto, so you can find me, All Access Off-Road, everywhere. That's your TikTok, your Insta, your Facebook and YouTube, All Access Off-Road. Thank you for listening to the Off-Road On Air podcast with myself, Thomas and Marley. Tune in for more.
Love it. Thanks very much, boys.
Sweet as. Cheers, guys. See ya.
Awesome. We just want to finish up, boys. I'll talk to you later. Because Andy, it looks like you've got to go to bed. I'm looking at that time.
Yeah, that's it. 8 o'clock's my bedtime, mate.
I think it's time to chuck the aircon on.
I gotta go and feed the dogs. This one dog of mine is just annoying the hell out of me, so I gotta go feed her so I can calm that one down and sort out the rest of the fam.
Too easy, boys. I'll chat to you guys a bit later. See you, boys. Love you. Have a good night.
Love you, Marley. Love you, Ado. Sorry.